Hello, this is Thompson Smiley, and this is another of those incidents where we bring a guest from my Louisville magazine column, Smiley's Picks, into the studio to talk about some aspect of Louisville's musical or theatrical life in the upcoming weeks. And my guest today is David Roth, who has had an extraordinarily successful career in my view, and I'm uniquely qualified to comment, having done the job for 17 years. In keeping Kentucky Opera not just in the forefront, but positively buoyant during the hardest artistic climate I think I have ever experienced. David, the short question is, what is going to happen with orchestral provision for the Marriage of Figaro on November 18th?
November 18th and November 20th are the performances. You. It's a very unfortunate situation that Kentucky Opera has been thrown into. As we all know in the community, we're still struggling with the issue of the Louisville Orchestra and the protracted labor dispute that they are having with musicians, members of the Louisville Orchestra right now. And as a result of that situation, Kentucky Opera and its performances this fall have really been held hostage over this issue. It's an issue that we cannot solve. Kentucky Opera cannot bring a resolution
No.
to this labor dispute, a dispute we've had no part in. We've not had any part in the previous collective bargaining agreement they've had. We've not negotiated it. We've not signed on to it. We've simply contracted Louisville Orchestra to supply us with our orchestras for years and years.
So you're collateral damage, really, in a dispute between the orchestra management and its players.
I think that's a very apt description, and it's a very unfortunate situation for us and our patrons. We have reached out to the local union. Unfortunately, because of this ongoing negotiations or the lack thereof, they're very afraid of reaching an agreement with us at this time that might bring detrimental harm to their negotiations or attempt to negotiate with the Louisville Orchestra. And as a result, we're being held to this very high standard of an orchestral symphonic organization when we're merely an opera company that does, you know, two performances for each of its productions. We only have this season, 7 public performances. That is an opera company, and industry-wide throughout the nation, opera companies, especially level 3 opera companies, have a very different relationship with the union, with the American Federations of Musicians, than do symphonic organizations that are working on multiple performances, multiple concerts, and really on a weekly salary basis.
And they employ their own orchestra. I mean, as you say, on salary, many of them big ones like the Met in Chicago.
Correct.
They
correct.
Employ their own orchestra, so they're dealing with their own employees. Here,
right.
You're being held hostage by somebody else's employees.
Right. And I think the only resolution that we have at this point to look at is either some resolution can come in this labor dispute, or we continue to try to negotiate on an industry standard based on their own rates, an arrangement with the union to supply our musicians for our performances of The Marriage of Figaro. And let's be honest, this may be the same situation with The Merry Widow, which is coming up in February, and I'm hoping we can resolve something before that. We're still open to talk about it, but we cannot bankrupt Kentucky Opera as a result of this unresolved labor dispute. And right now, our options are pretty limited. If we're not able to come together and talk about a possible solution for The Marriage of Figaro, our last and unfortunate option is to use pianos in the pit with a harpsichord, but we will produce the show. The show will go on, as they say. We are committed to it. We have a brilliant cast in town that is already rehearsing for it. We have a fresh director making her Kentucky Opera debut that I have seen for several years, Lillian Grog, coming in to do this performance. I'm truly excited about what we can do. And this is a new production for us as well, one designed and built here in Kentucky. So we are committed to this. We will produce this. And if we do not have any option for seating orchestra members, then we will seat two pianists in the pit, and we will produce this opera for our patrons.
Yes, I have to have had a bad attack of deja vu and all this, because I experienced the same thing, but I think much less adversarial. About 30 years ago, there was a strike. There were many strikes over the time. We've all both been, well, I've been in Liverpool and works to rule and all sorts of things. And one board member said to me, well, do you have a strategic plan? And I said, we have factorial five strategic plans. I mean, if the orchestra's on strike, you need a plan for that. If the orchestra's dissolved, you need a plan for that. And, you know, any combination, if the orchestra's locked out by the management, you need a plan for that. You know, and so why
and all
you
of
just...
these plans, and here's the thing, Thompson, it's all of these plans, all of which we have no control over which plan might have to be implemented, because the control of resolving this issue is outside of our control.
Well, why don't you just bring in an orchestra out of town?
Well, the issue is much larger than just here in Louisville. And now that the National Union has become involved in this issue and is watching over all of our shoulders, no other organization is willing to come into Louisville and participate with Kentucky Opera because of this very toxic situation with the Louisville Orchestra and its musicians. Until that is really resolved, no one else is going to be interested in coming here to perform in Louisville.
And the reasons are that a player could be fined $50,000 and blacked by the union and would not work again.
I believe so. I'm not specific on the numbers, but I think that's the particular case.
David, I think it's long-term terribly dangerous for this city. I mean, to a large extent, organizations with the arts, depend to some degree on the goodwill of the public. And the public attitude towards orchestra provision has varied from indifference to mild goodwill. I think you, again, are collateral damage and what is a long-term peril. If the Louisville Orchestra quietly closes its doors and goes away, you're going to need a long-term solution.
Well, absolutely. And I think you are on the right track here, that this is not just collateral damage for us, but for all of us, and that there is the potential for long-term damage in the goodwill of the community at large for the performing arts in this community. I mean, how much more negative press can we absorb before we lose, not just in the short term, but in the long term? And it can do detrimental harm, this protracted issue, if it's not resolved soon, detrimental harm to all performing arts organizations.
Mm. I was verbally attacked, let's put it too strongly, but I was verbally got at by an old friend in the orchestra after a WOL broadcast when I had said that the business model of the orchestra is broken. But the players must realise they sit at the Whitney Hall playing a symphony concert, looking out and seeing acres and acres of empty seats, that something had to be done for the business model. You're the only one who's successfully done it with the opera. Is there a comparable business model that you could recommend to the Louisville Orchestra?
Well, that's a very good question. I think they have taken that path, and that they have really attempted this year to redesign a new model for the Louisville Orchestra. I think there is real potential with what the management and the board have proposed. I think the musicians have begun to understand the need for this new type of model. It seemed for a time this fall that things were coming closer, that we might be close to some agreement. That seemed to fall apart last week. So how close they are, I'm not sure. I'm not in on the inside. I do believe, looking on the outside, that all arts organizations, not just Kentucky Opera, not just the Louisville Orchestra, but all arts organizations across the country in every single market, in every single region, need to rethink their models relative to the new economics that are out there. That's why we've had opera companies across this region closing their doors, because they haven't reinvented themselves. They haven't looked at their own situation in their community and discovered a new path to make themselves sustainable, to make themselves relevant to new audiences and the new economies.
Well, let me just conclude by saying, as somebody who weathered much less dangerous storms 30 years ago, I admire you and congratulate you on the way you're keeping your cool in what must be a very unpleasant situation.
it's a difficult situation, but, you know, as we say in opera, we don't save any lives here. It's no one's going to die. We're supposed to have some fun, and I hope we can get back and start having some fun and enjoying the art form and fulfilling our souls, if you will, with this great piece by Mozart, The Marriage of Figaro.
Good for you, David. My guest has been David Roth, General Director of Kentucky Opera, and if you caught a reference there to the Marriage of Figaro, the dates correctly are November 18 and 20, a Sunday and a Friday and a Sunday at 8 and 2 p.m. The number to call, 584-7777.